There are actually technologies that would enable the industry to check the durability of the casing and the cementing that they use. Right now, they're not required here in New York State, but that is something that we ought to require. Mm. There should be regular monitoring of the integrity of these systems. And as soon as there's any evidence that there's a breach of that, the drilling and the production should stop until that breach is cured. And if it's not curable, then the well should be immediately plugged.
Is that inspection required in any other state?
There, I believe that there are, although I can't name that, you know, particularly which states there are. It is, I think, considered to be a best management practice to ensure that there is regular monitoring of the integrity of the wells and the casing and the cementing. New York State is not by any stretch of the imagination state of the art right now. We, you know, the experts who have looked at the regulations here in New York have as many as 18 different recommendations for how they might be improved.
So people are looking into it, but nothing is required. And, of course, if it's not required, they don't do it.
Absolutely. I mean, the people who are interested in this issue need to be participating in the governmental processes that are currently underway, and they need to be in contact with their representatives to put a lot of pressure on New York State government to update the regulations. The regulations that are operative right now in New York State date back principally to about 1985, some cases 1972. They have not been brought up to date since that time. And, of course, the process that we're talking about developed in the mid-90s. So the regulations are not in any way formulated to address the particular problems that we might confront from hydraulic fracturing. We have learned a lot about that process since the regulations have been adopted. We've been able to watch what's going on in the West. We've been able to watch what's going on even right next door in Pennsylvania. And our Department of Environmental Conservation, our legislature, our governor should be stepping up to the plate to make New York the gold standard instead of behind the curve.
So now Pennsylvania, what's happened there, it's the same rock formation that extends from Pennsylvania to New York. So we can pretty much say that the same company is doing the same thing and the same kind of rock and are going to have the same problems. So what happened?
Well, the Marcellus Shale actually extends all the way from Ohio through West Virginia, New York, Pennsylvania, and down as far south as Tennessee. And although there's a lot that we can learn from the experiences in other places, there's also a lot that's going to be specific to New York's own hydrogeology. And so it's crucial that we adopt regulations that do reflect the information that we have. But it's also crucial that DEC and the industry conduct far more in-depth studies of the local conditions so that we fully understand what this process is going to do. For example, we want to understand fully where the fractures are, the natural fractures underground, so that we know that we're not going to be drilling in a place where there will be an easy route to the surface. We want to know what the directions of underground flow are in the aquifers that currently exist, whether they're shallow freshwater aquifers that people are using for drink water, or whether they're deeper, salty aquifers that right now are confined because there are no fractures but might be released when there's this high pressure injection. All of these kinds of things are very poorly understood. Resources have not been dedicated to make sure that we know what we're drilling into and what might happen as a result of this process. But the science is available if the resources were there. And the state should be imposing permit fees that ensure that there are enough resources to do all the necessary testing, all the necessary investigation, all the necessary oversight and compliance, and if there are violations, the necessary enforcement. And we aren't anywhere close to being there yet.
The companies are causing the problems, so they should be paying for the problems they're causing, both before the process and if it goes through after the process.
Absolutely. There's a standard economic term called internalizing your costs. Right now, what the industry is doing is externalizing the costs. They get the profits from extracting the resource, and we pay the price if there are environmental problems. What we want...
Socialism, in other words.
What we want them to do is invest the money up front to make sure that there aren't any environmental problems at the back end. And it will be far, far less expensive overall if we prevent the harms that can occur than if we wait for them to happen and try to clean them up later.
Now, what has happened in Pennsylvania?
Well, in Dimmock, there were citizens that filed a lawsuit regarding the Cabot industry that had misled them and had exposed them as a community to combustible gases, hazardous chemicals, and there had been explosions and fires as well. I had
explosions where?
Within the wells, the drinking water wells of the residents. I had been.
So the water's exploding?
The drinking water wells had exploded. I had gone on site a few weeks ago to a residence whose well had blown up on New Year's Eve from the nearby drilling. And the owner of this home had explained also that a nearby neighbor's well had been on fire for about a week. And these are the type of concerns that we need to address. When there is hydrofracking and horizontal drilling, the extraction is only about 10% of the gas. So within the shale, the fissures, and so forth, there will be a shifting of the existing gas or the gas that is not extracted. And there is not any way to control or to monitor how this gas will shift. And obviously what has taken place in Pennsylvania, in the previously cited example, is a symptom of what this shifting can cause as a harmful effect.
So what's the name of that town again?
Dimmock.
I think that...
D-I-M-O-K. O-C-K.
The likelihood that the gas would actually... That's in the shale would move around is fairly remote unless there are fissures created for it to move in, because it is a very impermeable sedimentary formation. But what we did have in Dimmock was an example of a very poorly constructed well. And there were... Because the well was not properly cemented, the gas that was being extracted was able to leak out into the aquifer and contaminate the water supply. There are examples of this all over the country, what is called methane intrusion. The natural gas is principally methane. And in some places, you can turn on your faucet and light your water. And there are videos that you can see, you know, on the web of people who can light their water because of the methane intrusion. Obviously, this is not how the industry and the processes are designed to work, but if we don't have good oversight by our own regulatory agencies, this is an industry that is going to have incentives to cut corners, to move too quickly, and to take less care than is appropriate, given the seriousness of the contamination that can result.
Well, what has been the result in Pennsylvania? Have they stopped drilling because of these wells exploding? Haven't stopped.
This particular company was ordered to shut down for a brief period of time, not so much because of the methane intrusion, but because there were also problems with spills on site. But it was only for a very short period of time, and it was only with respect to the particular wells that they were drilling, and now everything is back business as usual. Pennsylvania is just now waking up to the ramifications of what it has unleashed, particularly for its drinking water supply. And it is proposing new regulations that are designed to prevent contamination by one type of pollutant, this known as total dissolved solids, which is just a fancy term for all of the stuff that gets dissolved into water. It's principally salts of various sorts, but it's also potentially heavy metals, and it may be radionuclides. The Marcellus Shale is known to be a radioactive formation, and the tests that have been done on some of the wastewaters that have been produced through this process have shown elevated levels of radioactivity that really need to be addressed, far above the drinking water standard.
Well, there's just more problems. I mean, which is, again, why I'm devoting this much time to it. You're listening to Ecologic on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. Tell your friends they can listen to this show live streamed. So if they're not in the listening area, they can still listen in on their computers. And my guests today are
Deborah Goldberg from Earth Justice,
Annie Wilson, Sierra Club.